yesterday, we had the privilege and joy of going to the Chapel of the Open Book in Wilson Street, London, and joining with others of like precious faith from all over Britain in the Foundation Day services. And now, here we are, back again in our quiet Norfolk village of Blowfield, tired in body but spiritually refreshed and ready to continue with our study of the Levitical offerings. Our scripture reading has been chapter 2 of Leviticus. Perhaps you would like to turn to this chapter and put a marker in your Bible, because we shall be constantly referring to this chapter, Leviticus 2. And this chapter describes the meat offering, rendered more accurately by the Revised Version as the meal offering. No blood is in evidence, this offering consisting of fine flour, oil, and frankincense. Meat was the Old English word for food in general. We still speak of sweetmeats and so on. But as no animal flesh is involved, we propose to refer to this as the meal offering. In chapters 28 and 29 of Numbers are instructions as to the offerings to be made by Israel on various special days, feasts, etc., throughout the different seasons, and the meal offering is constantly associated with the burnt offering. As the burnt offering typifies Christ in death, so the meal offering typifies the man, Christ Jesus, in his perfect manhood and life of spotless purity. Appendix 43 of the Companion Bible gives the Hebrew word for this offering as minchah, M-I-N-C-H-A-H, which means a present. And so this was a gift offering, not necessarily to secure admittance, but to secure favor. How that lights up the words of Luke chapter 2 and verse 51. Luke chapter 2 and verse 51. You will remember that here Joseph and Mary had gone up to Jerusalem, and on the way back had missed the Lord Jesus Christ, and so went back and found him. And verse 49 says, "And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them, and came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." And so here we are shown the 12-year-old pattern son learning obedience. And as we consider the first of the ingredients of this offering, we see again the perfection of his humanity. You will note that it is fine flour, flour that has not only been ground, but sifted and cleansed from all coarseness and impurity. Not that the Lord Jesus needed to undergo any such process, because, as Hebrews 7:26 says, he was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. Of course he was. Even the saintliest characters portrayed in the Bible had their lapses and failures. Abraham, the father of the faithful, called the friend of God, resorted to half-truths concerning his wife. David, the man after God's own heart, fell into sins of the deepest dye. Paul, standing before the high priest who had commanded him to be struck on the mouth, temporarily lost his temper. Who wouldn't? The Lord Jesus, in exactly the same circumstances, maintained complete evenness of temper. And one of the comments of the Companion Bible on the fine flour of the meal offering is that there was no unevenness. No wonder Paul, writing to Christian Hebrews, chapter 3 and verse 1, could invite them to consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him. Yes, he is worthy of every consideration and can stand the most minute scrutiny because of his inherent holiness. During his earthly ministry, even the unclean demons possessing human beings cried out, "We know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God." Upon the fine flour of the meal offering, oil was to be poured. So often in Scripture, oil is a type of the Holy Spirit. In a companion Bible note here, says that Christ's life was permeated and actuated by the Holy Spirit. In verse 4 of Leviticus 2, we read of the oil being used in two different ways. Leviticus chapter 2 and verse 4. "And if thou bring an oblation of a meal offering baked in the oven, it shall be unleavened cakes of fine flour, mingled with oil, or unleavened wafers anointed with oil." And so, with the Lord Jesus Christ, we turn once again to Luke's Gospel, and this time, chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 and verse 35. Luke 1 and verse 35. This, you will remember, was the angel Gabriel coming to Mary. And verse 35 of Luke chapter 1, "And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." And here is one of the grandest truths of Revelation. Gabriel declares that divine power was about to form a real man, the second man, the Lord from heaven. This cardinal truth cannot be too tenaciously held. The incarnation of the Son is the foundation of the great mystery of godliness. And so perhaps it's no wonder that many of the attacks today are upon the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you see, Holy Spirit came upon Mary, mingling with the seed of the woman to bring into being the incarnate Son of God in order to fulfill the primeval promise of Genesis 3:15 as to the bruising of the serpent's head, Satan's final doom. Will you turn over a page or two with me to Luke chapter 3 and verse 22? Or we'll read verse 21. Luke chapter 3 and verse 21. "Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased." And so here we are told of the anointing of the Lord Jesus by the Holy Spirit. The very word Christ means the anointed one. And throughout the Old Testament scriptures, oil was used in anointing prophets, priests, and kings, setting them apart for their respective offices. And all Bible students are aware that in chapter 12 of Matthew's Gospel, the Lord Jesus laid claim to being prophet, priest, and king. The third ingredient of the meal offering was frankincense, a white resinous substance which, when burned, gives off an aromatic odor. The Hebrew word in the Old Testament denotes something white, and white, of course, is a symbol of purity and righteousness. As we would expect, when dealing with such a glorious type, this word bears the mark of spiritual perfection, as it is used 7 times in Leviticus and 14 times in other parts of the Old Testament. But it was when the frankincense was burnt on the altar, an offering made by fire, that the sweet savour ascended to God. And so, through suffering and trial, tried as by fire, the Lord Jesus Christ gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour. This sweet savour, ascending to God from the burning frankincense, belonged to him alone, as although a remnant of the meal offering, a handful of flour and of the oil, was to be for Aaron and his sons, all the frankincense was to be burnt as a memorial before God, a reminder of the all-sufficiency of the sacrifice of his beloved Son. It's interesting to compare Psalm 20 with Acts chapter 10. So we look first of all at Psalm 20, verse 1. Psalm 20, verse 1. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary, and strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thy offerings, and accept thy burnt sacrifice. Selah. Pause, and think of that. And now look at this, Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. And verse 1. Acts 10, verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people, and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him, and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid, and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And so you see, there's the connection with Psalm 20 and verse 3. Remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice. And there's a New Testament example of it. Back to Leviticus chapter 2 and verse 11. Leviticus chapter 2 and verse 11. No meal offering which ye shall bring unto the Lord shall be made with leaven, for ye shall burn no leaven nor any honey in any offering of the Lord made by fire. And so here is the solemn warning that no offering of the Lord made by fire was to contain leaven or honey. Throughout Scripture, leaven is associated with evil. Contrary to the popular idea that the gospel is a leaven, which is to spread righteousness throughout the world. There was to be nothing sour, or that would puff up in the meal offering, and no honey, nothing apparently sweet and attractive. The companion Bible note on this is very much to the point. It says, leaven is fermentation, and honey, or any sweet liquor, is the cause of it. These two things were forbidden because there was no error or corruption in the antitype. All was divine perfection. And as we think of the attractiveness of honey, how we're reminded of Isaiah 52. We turn to Isaiah chapter 52. Isaiah 52 and verse 14. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. The next chapter, chapter 53, verse 2, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. In contrast to the prohibition of leaven and honey is the very definite command as to the use of salt. Back to Leviticus chapter 2 and verse 13. Leviticus 2, verse 13. And every oblation of thy meal offering shalt thou season with salt. Neither shalt thou suffer the salt of the covenant of thy God to be lacking from thy meal offering. With all thine offerings thou shalt offer salt. As leaven and honey were forbidden, salt is prescribed, as it is the great antiseptic preventing fermentation. Look at the reference to this by the Lord Jesus Christ in Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9 and verse 49. Mark chapter 9, verse 49. For everyone shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost his saltness, wherewith will ye season it? Have salt in yourselves, and have peace one with another. And as we look into the middle of this chapter, verse 33, we read that he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, his disciples, what was it that ye disputed among yourselves by the way? But they held their peace. Or by the way, they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. And so he warned them to have salt in yourselves and have peace one with another, and you won't dispute as you had been doing coming along. And then we turn to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, and our reference is to verses 16 to 29. Now, we can't read all that, but you will remember that this is where the Lord Jesus Christ went into the synagogue at Nazareth and stood up to read and gave that classic example of rightly dividing the word of truth when he left off with what is in the middle of one of our verses and said to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, but stopped there and didn't speak of the day of vengeance of our God. Well, now we want specially to refer to verses 22 and 25. Verse 22 of Luke 4 says, and all bare him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And then in verse 25, or verse 24, he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land, but unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha's the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Nan and the Syrian. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon the city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. You see, they bear witness to the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth, that when he proceeded to talk about how Gentiles had been healed and helped, they couldn't stand the salt. But he, of course, had applied the salt to preserve them from the corrupting influence of their national pride. And then there's the exhortation to us in Colossians. Colossians chapter 4 and verses 5 and 6. Colossians 4. Verse 5. Colossians 4, 5. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. This may be intended to remind us that we're not to lay emphasis on the love of God, and omit any reference to his holiness and righteous judgments. The reference to the salt of the covenant of thy God in Leviticus 2:13 is interesting, as it is the first of three occurrences of this expression. The others concern the priesthood and the kingdom. First of all, the priesthood, Numbers chapter 18. Numbers chapter 18 and verse 19. The first verse of this chapter says, And the Lord said unto Aaron. So this is all in connection with Aaron. And verse 19 says, All the heave offerings of the holy things, which the children of Israel offer unto the Lord, have I given thee, and thy sons and thy daughters with thee, by a statute forever. It is a covenant of salt forever before the Lord unto thee and to thy seed with thee. So that concerned the priesthood. And as to the kingdom, we find that in 2 Chronicles, chapter 13. The second book of Chronicles, chapter 13. And 2 Chronicles 13 verse 4. And Abijah stood up upon Mount Zemaraim, which is in Mount Ephraim, and said, Hear me, thou Jeroboam, and all Israel. Ought ye not to know that the Lord God of Israel gave the kingdom over Israel to David for ever, even to him and to his sons, by a covenant of salt? And so there were the references to the priesthood and the kingdom. And salt, in this connection, makes a covenant unbreakable. Salt also denotes an obligation of loyalty. If we turn over a few more pages to the book of Ezra, Ezra chapter 4, Ezra chapter 4 and verse 14. And this is part of a letter that the opponents of the Jews sent to King Artaxerxes. And verse 14 says, Now because we have maintenance from the king's palace, and it was not meet for us to see the king's dishonor, therefore have we sent and certified the king. And if you have a margin in your Bible, you will see that the Chaldean words mean we are salted with the salt of the palace. Back again to Leviticus chapter 2, and this time verse 14. And if thou offer a meal offering of thy first fruits unto the Lord. Thou shalt offer for the meal offering of thy first fruits green ears of corn, dried by the fire, even corn beaten out of full ears. The meal offering of thy first fruits typifies the Lord Jesus Christ in resurrection life. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The 15th chapter of Paul's first letter to the Corinthians and verse 20. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming. What perfection there is in the reality of the great antitype, fulfilling in every detail the types and shadows of the Old Testament. Even the green ears of corn dried by the fire, corn beaten out of full ears, point to the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy concerning the Messiah. Isaiah 53:8, who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. And the Lord Jesus Christ was beaten before he was crucified, and died at the early age of 33, becoming the first fruits of them that slept. We notice in the law, as to the burnt offering, the gracious provision made to meet the ability of the offerer as to what sort of offering he was in a position to bring. And a similar principle applies to the meal offering. There were various ways in which this offering could be made. It could be of uncooked flour, or it could be cakes which had been baked in different ways. Whatever the method, the result was the same. Back to Leviticus chapter 2 and verses 8 to 10. Leviticus chapter 2, verse 8. And thou shalt bring the meal offering that is made of these things unto the Lord. And when it is presented unto the priest, he shall bring it unto the altar. And the priest shall take from the meal offering a memorial thereof, and shall burn it upon the altar. It is an offering made by fire of a sweet savour unto the Lord. And that which is left of the meal offering shall be Aaron's and his sons. It is a thing most holy, of the offerings of the Lord made by fire. And we can compare this with the law of the meal offering itself in chapter 6, Leviticus chapter 6, verse 14. Leviticus 6, verse 14, and this is the law of the meal offering. The sons of Aaron shall offer it before the Lord, before the altar. And he shall take of it his handful of the flour of the meal offering, and of the oil thereof, and all the frankincense which is upon the meal offering, and shall burn it upon the altar for a sweet savour, even the memorial of it unto the Lord. And the remainder thereof shall Aaron and his sons eat. With unleavened bread shall it be eaten in the holy place, in the court of the tabernacle of the congregation, they shall eat it. It shall not be baken with leaven. I have given it unto them for their portion of my offerings made by fire. It is most holy, as is the sin offering, and as the trespass offering. All the males among the children of Aaron shall eat of it. It shall be a statute for ever in your generations concerning the offerings of the Lord made by fire. Everyone that toucheth them shall be holy. So part of the meal offering was to be food for Aaron and his sons, and they were to eat it with unleavened bread in the holy place. It reminds us that the Lord Jesus Christ, the great antitype of this offering, claimed to be the bread of life. And we turn to John chapter 6. John's Gospel and chapter 6, verse 31. Chapter 6 of John's Gospel and verse 31. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Sir, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Verse 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness, and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof, and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. It is the privilege of every born-again believer to feed upon the Lord Jesus, the living word. But in doing so, we must give heed to that warning in verses 16 and 17 of Leviticus 6 against the intrusion of leaven. With unleavened bread shall it be eaten. And verse 17, it shall not be baken with leaven. Paul takes this up in his first letter to the Corinthians in chapter 5 and verses 7 and 8 by saying, Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Further, verse 18 of Leviticus 6 contains the solemn warning, everyone that toucheth them, the offerings, shall be holy. And we cannot feed upon the Lord Jesus if we are indulging in evil. The word of God comes to us as it did to Israel. Be ye holy, for I am holy. God help each of us to examine ourselves frequently, for, as Paul wrote also in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 31, if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged.